And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I'm Kevin, here alongside my sister Mary.
Fwah, fwah, fwah!
Yeah!
What up, everybody?
And we're continuing our jaunt through Season 7 of The Office today with Episodes 5, The Sting, and Episode 6, Costume Contest.
Yes! Which,
as you can probably surmise, is a Halloween episode, though not up to snuff with past Halloween episodes, I would say.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that one.
Definitely not.
I wasn't particularly a big fan of either episode, to be honest.
Okay.
Going into it, they scored a lot lower than the ones we've done so far in Season 7.
That makes sense.
Before we get there, though, do you want to remind everybody about what we covered last week?
Sure, Kev.
It was...
No, last week we talked about Andy's play.
Yep.
And how he was still pining for Erin, even though she's dating Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, actually, it was a really cool production of Sweeney Todd. Yeah. Like Pam said it best, it's actually really nice to see Andy sing in the right setting.
and Michael's all dejected because he thought he should have been in the play.
Yeah, he tried out for it. He did
failed.
A monologue of Law & Order SVU.
Yeah.
So then that, you know, hijinks ensues. Erin ends up babysitting for Jim and Pam, fucking that all up. Michael drops a wine bottle down the entire theater, and all of his balloons pop.
Yep.
And the plumber was Sweeney Todd.
Yes, Daryl's plumber.
And then we move on to sex ed, where Michael thinks that he has a pimple, which turns out...
No, herpes.
No, he thinks he has a pimple. Then somebody says it's an ingrown hair. Then Meredith announces that it's herpes because she has genital herpes.
Hot.
Which everybody's like, oh my god, disgusting! Nobody, like, Angela holds her breath until she's out of the same room as her. And so Andy takes it upon himself to try to find out if Gabe and Erin are having sex under the guise of trying to normalize herpes.
Not normalize herpes, but do sex ed.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
like
this is what people do.
What's over a pencil?
What's a pro and a con of sex and all that shit?
But also, this is where the funny part of the episode comes in. Michael visits all of the women of his past because he wants to tell them that he has herpes.
Yeah.
So we hear from Donna. We see Carol.
Helene.
We hear from Holly, and my absolute favorite, the fucking gem of this episode, Jan fucking Levinson.
Yeah, it's good shit.
Oh my god, she's crazy.
Ghost of
She's actually
past.
Insane.
Yeah, she's clinically insane.
As Dwight says,
even
she's
Dwight.
Insane.
Dwight is like caught off guard by her insanity.
But, so then we find Michael leaves Holly a voicemail saying, like, I don't know why you're downplaying what we had because it was actually real, bitch.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love
you. He doesn't say I love you, but...
I'll wait for you.
He pretty much says it.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what you missed.
That's it.
Yep.
So, that'll bring us up to episode 5 of season 7, The Sting, which you're going to handle right now. Right?
I am. So, guys, we have our cold open, and it's basically Oscar in spandex on a bike.
Yep.
I guess Lance Armstrong was really big at this point in 2010.
Well,
was this before we found out that he was roiding?
I think this is a little bit before the doping, but he was still a national hero at this time.
Yeah. Tour de France winner.
He was in You, Me,
like,
and Dupree.
Times,
remember
something.
That?
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
But we find out that Michael doesn't know how to ride a bike, and so Pam and Jim help him, and then he drives it into a car. But he was like, Michael.
Yeah, he was trying to get people to care. He hadn't ridden a bike since one had training wheels.
Yeah. Not the strongest of the cold opens.
No, it's just whatever.
Honestly, Kelly's part was the best, where she's like, I'm on Sheryl Crow's side in all of this, so I feel really uncomfortable right now. Like that.
I forgot they were a couple, honestly.
Yeah, oh my god, yeah. I don't know why they broke up, but...
I think it's because he was an asshole. I think that was a big part of it.
I just, every time I think of Lance Armstrong, and this is so fucked up,
no,
what
go
I'm going to say...
It.
Is Robin Williams being like, yeah, I call him Uniballer.
Yeah, yeah, Robin Williams used to ride bikes with him and make fun of his one testicle because of the cancer. That's...
Well, he's off balance.
I know.
They sit on one side or the other of the seat.
I don't know if that was the testicle that made boys or girls. But, no, that's the funny thing, though, is that Lance Armstrong could, like, poke and prod, like, make jokes about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not poke and prod. He could poke fun. I meant to say he could poke fun at himself about it.
Make fun of himself.
Yeah, and he'd let one of the kings of comedy do it for him.
Yes.
So.
So anyway, that's the cold open. Again, Kelly's part is the funniest part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have Jim and Dwight in this fucking favorite, one of my favorite dynamics. They're doing a joint sales call. They're pitching to Steve Nash, and now
okay,
basketball
Steve
literate.
Steve Nash was a point guard.
For the Phoenix Suns.
Yes, and he was very good, especially for the years he was with the Phoenix Suns. I think he won back-to-back MVPs, if I'm not mistaken. And he was a big deal in, like, the 2008 to 2012.
Okay, so this is right in the middle of
that. Oh, yeah, he was at the peak of his powers,
so that makes sense then, because Dwight's like, nobody knows who that is, Dwight. Okay, Mr. Jock Hipster. Which Jim totally is Mr. Jock Hipster.
Jim is a... Yeah, he claims he's not, but there, I watched ahead a little bit, and there's an episode coming up that just proves his hipster credentials.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah. But I digress.
Yeah.
This is also a sales call they do together where Dwight does not headbang to Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Beforehand. Like, he goes...
Girls.
It was a Dr. Feelgood?
Yeah.
Kicks to my heart!
Yeah.
Something like that. Poor Vince Neil. He sounds like a fucking chicken now.
Dude. He's
horrible.
Oof. And then we're back at the office, and Andy is reading the Cornell, like, magazine?
Alumni magazine.
Yeah. And he finds out news about, like, all of his former classmates.
Yeah,
so one guy died on, I think, Kilimanjaro, if I remember correctly. And then he finds out that Broccoli Rob did a duet with a member of Phish.
Trey Anastasio.
Yes.
Do you like Phish?
I've never actually listened to them, but I worked a concert as a volunteer for one of my clubs when I was in Penn State.
A Phish concert?
Yeah.
So you heard them then?
I guess.
It's like... Fuck it. It's the music you listen to if you work for Ben & Jerry's up in Vermont. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like that hippy-dippy,
okay, so, side story, because this made me laugh so fucking hard. No, Phish.
Okay.
So, my husband and I went out to lunch with a couple of our friends this past weekend. We're allowed to at this point.
Nobody cares.
But, so we went out to lunch, and somebody made a joke about women drivers. And they were like, yeah, when Marion...
That's a gold mine of comedy.
Well, they're like, when you guys pulled up, I went, that's not them. There's a woman in the front, in the driver's seat. And I looked at them and I said, well, I drive like 98% of the time. Like, my husband only drives when he goes to work or fish. And one of the guy's girlfriends said, she goes... Like the concerts? Like the Phish concert?
Oh,
and
God.
I go, no!
Yeah, he goes to so many of them.
But I just started laughing because I don't think Scott's ever listened to Phish.
No, they're
ever.
Not.
And I'm like, that's so fucking random. You know that he's a fisherman.
Oh, God. That's one of those bands, man, Phish, that...
They're polarizing.
Yeah, either you're
you like them
in
or
that,
you don't.
Yeah, it's like Dave Matthews.
I was just going to say,
fuck
Dave
Matthews.
Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews is garbage.
Same, fuck dude. Him. Sorry if you enjoy him.
Yeah, if you enjoy it, fuck you.
Good for you, but
he's
not very popular in his house.
I just had a joke come up because you were talking about how your husband doesn't drive.
Mm-hmm.
And like in my head, I'm like, oh, did this guy make like a Lance Armstrong joke? Like, oh, he doesn't have any balls. He doesn't drive. Because like that's the way, you know, what bros do. You
yeah.
know, like, going after each other. Like,
oh, absolutely.
And we were just talking about Lance Armstrong, so it was fresh in my mind to go there, but I digress.
Yes. Oh, so anyway,
Broccoli Rob
did
a milk
Phish.
Commercial.
Yeah, and Andy's just jealous as fuck.
Mm.
So now we have Dwight and Jim. They arrive to find a very handsome Timothy Oliphant playing in the lobby.
Never saw this guy before.
Really?
I don't know who he is.
Oh, I love Timothy Oliphant.
He's a guy who's got a George Hamilton tan and like neatly cropped hair.
So he's
no idea who he is.
He's in the Netflix show Santa Clarita Diet with Drew Barrymore. He's her husband.
Barrymore.
That's what he said.
You said Barrymore.
Okay, Drew Barrymore. He's her husband, and he's actually hilarious in that. But he's been in several different shows and movies. So he was in I can't remember the title.
No,
of it.
Nobody does.
No,
I don't
but
know
it's
who he
a
is.
Zombie movie, and it has the pitchfork. My husband's
World
obsessed
War Z.
with zombies.
No. 28 days later.
No.
28 weeks later.
No. I'll put it on fucking Twitter when I think of
it. All right, fuck it.
But anyway, the Crazies. The Crazies.
No idea.
But he's also in some kind of Western because he plays a sheriff.
Deadwood?
I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, this is, as we come to find out, Danny Cordray, the best salesman around. He kills Dunder Mifflin in sales, and he works for Osprey Paper in Throop.
Oh my God, when Dwight said Throop.
Okay,
so it is spelled Throoop. It is a town, is a suburb of Scranton. However, it is pronounced Troop.
Like a troop of soldiers.
Yes, and so this was another one where they got the location, they got something right, but they like butchered
they didn't
it.
Have the local dialect. Yeah,
they didn't do enough research into it.
They saw it and they're like, oh, that's Throop, obviously.
The thing that kills me is there's like 30 towns around Scranton that have names that are easily, right. Like, they picked the one that they just
fucked
up.
Well, they probably looked at it and they were like, oh, that's way easier.
Throop. No, it's Troop.
Then Peckville, Blakely, I mean...
Oliphant. Timothy Oliphant! Why
Timothy
the fuck?
Oliphant! Oh my god!
Oliphant is a town like 10 seconds
Benji
outside of Scranton.
Benji Kaling, I'm so disappointed in you!
How could they have not picked Oliphant? And spelled Dude, exactly the same
Oliphant
way.
Oliphant is exactly spelled the same way, and it's literally next door to Troop.
I didn't even think of that till now.
Whole mind blown.
Anyway.
Sorry,
okay,
guys.
Okay, we're off track.
So anyway, Danny Cordray. And they're scared of him. And then Dwight also mentions he also slept with Pam.
And, he shoehorns that in.
He
him,
really
yeah.
does. And Jim's like, well, they went on a date 4 years ago. So now Dwight says he's going to intimidate him. And he goes, watch this. And then she said, that's the largest penis I've ever seen. And I love Danny Cordray's face, though. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Dwight just announces that as he comes around the corner.
And he goes, that's why I brought you to the penis museum, where tickets are $1,000.
And that there is the essence of comedy. Take him one direction and lead him another one. That is good shit.
But Danny, even though he's like, what the fuck? Yeah. He's very professional.
They
he's
know
like,
each other.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Dwight. Hey, Jim. Yep. How's it going, guys? And they're like, what are you doing here? And he goes, I'm just here for the coffee. Very smooth sailor.
Charming.
Here, Timothy Oliphant is a very smooth man here. Whew, I love Timothy Oliphant. Sorry, guys. That might be my favorite guest star so far.
He's something, I guess.
So, a few weeks ago when we talked about Todd Packer, I almost dropped the Danny Cordray
bomb. We edited out a certain part.
But I was like, what about Danny? And Kevin goes, what?
Mary spoiled a part. She spoiled this episode, essentially.
Oh, bullshit.
She's dropping names. She's like, Danny Cordray, the hot guy. He steals Packer's job, blah, blah, blah.
I did not say all of that. I just said, what about Danny? And you went, what? And mm-hmm. I said, never mind. That's in a few episodes. Sorry.
So let's go.
So anyway, Michael is starting a conference room meeting, brainstorming ideas, and Jim calls Michael, and of course Michael's like, yeah, no, I'm not busy, I'm not doing anything. And he asks him, he's like, listen, Danny Cordray is down here, I need you to come in and support. And so Michael's like, obviously in heaven, he's that excited. He's being called off the bench. So now Andy walks into Daryl's office and asks him for help. And Daryl's like, I'm very important on my computer, or very busy on my computer. He's entering Weight Watchers points. Which at this point, I think Weight Watchers was, that was at the peak of Oprah's.
I do not know.
That was at the peak of Oprah's, like, Weight Watchers.
So that was the bottom of her yo-yo. Is that mean?
Oh, shit.
Well, she's a notorious yo-yo.
Yeah,
like,
she is. So anyway, Andy, wants to pay Daryl to play keyboard with him. For $60 an hour. And Daryl goes, that's a lot of money. I'll do it for $40. Like, he's like, listen, I'll take your money, but I'm not going to take advantage of you.
He's not going to fleece him.
You're right. So, Michael arrives, and he's talking to Dwight and Jim, and they're like, oh, that's him. He's coming out of the office now. And Michael goes, that's not a salesman. That's a male model. So,
by Scranton standards, yeah. Especially, yeah.
That is a
something to
middle-aged man, like, that's a middle-aged male model right there. Wow. He can model suits.
So, like, Brooks Brothers or whatever.
He'd look very good for Men's Warehouse or something. Sorry,
I
guys.
I guarantee
it. I really do love Timothy
Stop
Oliphant.
Stop fanning yourself.
It's hot in here. All right. So, anyway, yeah, sorry, guys. Our studio is not air-conditioned at all, and it's the middle of, or it's the end of fucking June.
It's beautiful.
So, anyway, they do the sales pitch, but they lose.
They fail, and Mike's all pissed off about it.
And, I mean, he's even offering the guy paper at cost, weekend deliveries, and Michael's just pissed. And you can see it when they get on the elevator. He's like, we did what we needed to do. We were bested.
He's hitting the button. He's like, shut the door!
Why is there a door closed button if there's no door closed? So then he equates him coming out of retirement and failing to Michael Phelps coming out of retirement and drowning in a pool. Like, it's just an impossibility.
That's awesome.
So now Michael is meeting with the sales staff, trying to get ideas for how to beat Danny Cordray. Phyllis suggests seducing him, which everybody balks at. And then Dwight says that they should set up a fake office and watch a sales pitch. So now we see
And he shows them the security room that Dwight has
next to his office.
Since he owns the building.
So now they're having Meredith play the boss as Meredith Van Helsing.
Of PA Solar Tech.
Yes. Yeah. So now, you know, Danny introduces himself and blah, blah, blah. Meredith's already turned on.
Yeah, she's like, she like looks at him and she's moist.
Ew. Ew. God damn it. So now, Daryl, Andy, and Kevin are in the warehouse and,
they're playing music. Kevin on drums, Daryl on keyboard, and Andy with the guitar and vocals.
Yes.
And he's doing that high.
The falsetto. Dear Mr. President.
Oh, God.
The worst song ever recorded.
I don't even, like, it's just bad.
Yeah, it is.
It's like somebody from, like, 1967 was transported to the current day and thought they were doing something, like, to stop the Vietnam War or something.
Oh, my God, you're right.
You know, it's like a protest song,
hey,
but...
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, something like David Crosby was saying. Yeah, or something
I feel
like
you.
That.
So, but then Kevin offers to sing, and they said that they want to save his voice for the novelty song about frogs.
Love it.
Which makes me more excited for that song.
Me and my friends, when we were 11, we started a band, and we did have a song about a frog.
Of course you did. So now, Danny, as he's meeting with Meredith, smooth fucking operator, dude.
Yeah.
I'm gonna remove my coat. Is that okay? Is that alright with you? And Meredith, like, slowly unbuttons her shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
a little hot under the collar.
To where it's, like, buttoned below her, like, her bra at this point. Yeah. If she wears a bra, who knows?
I don't think she does.
And Meredith's, like, flirting back, and she's like, so you're here to sell me paper? Because Michael calls her and he's like, get back on track. Like, what the fuck? Make him sell you.
Stop looking at his jawline.
Yeah, stop looking at him. So then Danny's like, oh, no, no, no. Like, he's just so, like, his voice is like butter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this is just a first date to get to know you. See if we're a good fit.
My favorite part of this scene is that Michael and Dwight and Jim are in the coat closet watching the monitors. And they're like, you know, Michael's just like, oh, he's so good. And Dwight's like, yeah, he is pretty handsome. And Jim is, like, so insecure. He's like, come on, guys.
Like, yeah, like, he's not
Jim,
that handsome.
Jim was always the tall, handsome guy. And now he's being outshone, if you will.
Absolutely. And that's when Michael realizes, he's like, God damn it, he's making her sell to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So smart. So now Andy shows their song. And I think Oscar said it best. It's pandering.
Yeah. Oh, because
it absolutely is.
We didn't mention the song, because Andy's singing in the falsetto, is sung from the point of view of a little girl.
And it says, Dear Mr. President, bring our heroes home
for
war.
Give peace a whirl.
Yeah.
And bring our troops back home, says this little girl. Or something like that.
It's fucking pandering.
Like I said, it's like a 1960s protest song that is so sad and cloyingly sweet. And it's just like gross.
Yeah. And then Pam says it's weird that a grown man is singing from the point of view of a little girl. All the points Daryl made, everybody else is making. So now, Meredith...
Although Creed says he likes it.
Yeah.
He probably wrote it when he was in the fucking grassroots, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is where Meredith unbuttons her shirt, and she starts being aggressive. Jim and Dwight get Oscar, and they're like, go in there and try to get her out, like, and then make him pitch to you. So now
there is a
they're like flirting hard, like she's flirting because she's like, why is this desk between us? And Danny's like, he doesn't know that she's a fucking nympho. And he's like, I've never been a desk man myself. Why don't you come on over here? And he picks up his coat, and when he turns back around, she's like in front of him,
like on the arm of the chair, like a gargoyle.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like this quick cut, like something from The Ring or something. And it's fucking great.
It's
awesome.
Amazing. So now Oscar walks in, and Meredith, knowing exactly what's going on, she's like, this is Manuel, my cleaning man, who speaks no English. El window.
Yeah, she has him go and clean the window.
So then they decide to bring in Ryan. And being a Marvel nerd, here he is. Jim's like, all right, so you're CEO at Solar Tech. And he's like, that sounds made up. And Dwight's like, I told you, you're CEO of Stark Industries. Your brother... Father, your father just died and left you the entire thing. And he's like, what the fuck, Dwight?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, yeah, Tony Stark, yeah.
Is that Iron Man?
Yeah, that's
Iron Man. Okay, I knew that, okay.
So now they bring in Ryan, and they're like, tell Meredith that she's fired and you're the new regime. And she walks in. He walks in, and Meredith pulls the same shit.
He takes off his glasses like Clark Kent. Like, he's just like, boom. Like, he's gonna, like, go in this big, and he gets shot.
I love the line that Meredith says, though, as they're, like, cutting him in. You smell like a Scorpio. Her leg is up on Danny Cordray's chair. And she's like, oh, this is Esteban, my other cleaning man who also speaks no English. El Floro Esteban. Like, so awful.
And like, Oscar looks around, he just shrugs his shoulders. Like, he has like a tissue on the window. It's so ridiculous.
So now Danny tries to leave. He's like, oh, you know what? I parked my car in a compact spot, and I hate when people do that. I gotta go. And Meredith's like, literally trying to jump him.
Yeah, she's
and
trying
she's
to
like,
fuck
I really
him.
Feel something between us, Danny. And that's when Michael's like, enough, enough. Yeah. Oh my God, she's gonna fucking rape him.
She just burst in, yeah.
And he's like, listen. And he goes, Michael Scott? What the fuck? And Michael admits that they tricked him. And Danny's like, I'm at Dunder Mifflin, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And he's like, listen, we tricked you so that we could find out your technique. And he goes, and you hired a homeless woman to act as a CEO?
I love that he calls her a homeless woman.
And Michael's like, listen, we were desperate. And Danny's like, or crazy. Like, he's very calm
throughout all
of this. He's trying to be very professional. And he's like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just a little upset right now. I'm going to leave. Mm-hmm. And he tries to leave. And Michael just, like, keeps chasing him. And he offers him more money. And he's like, do you want more or less freedom? And, I mean, at one point, Danny is like, I will fucking punch
you. Yeah, he's like, I'll punch you in the face.
And then he's like, I'm sorry, I'm a little upset.
Yeah, because
right
he sees the camera. Like, yeah. I love when the character's eyes shift to the camera, like they become aware at a moment.
And actually, then as a traveling salesman, Danny accepts a position at Dunder Mifflin.
Mm-hmm.
So now Michael goes up to the office and he announces it. And Kelly, the only words that come out of her mouth is, fuck me.
Yeah, she's like,
and Michael's like, no, 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 this is not all of Italy.
Yeah, where you can treat people like pieces of meat. He has something for Italy, I love
it. He really does. So now, Michael says that Danny is like a little bit younger of a version of him. And Oscar's like, it's hard to judge ourselves accurately, isn't yeah. it? You know, the shade from Oscar, oh, yeah. I love it. So now, Dwight and the salespeople are upset and they want to talk to Michael. And they think that Danny is going to take all of their clients when Michael explains, no, that he used to steal the clients, but now he's going to steal them for him. So, we're down to the jam band, and they're struggling to think of another song, so they take Andy's insecurities and make that into a song about mm-hmm. Andy feeling like his life is passing him by. Daryl, like, instantly writes a melody.
Daryl's writing the blues.
Lyrics. Yeah. And, he's like, oh my God, we're almost out of time. How much for another half hour? And Daryl, like, has finally got inspiration. He's like, nah, man, it's cool.
We're just gonna jam.
Yeah. And yeah. Andy's like, oh, we're just gonna jam? I have a friend.
Yeah, pretty. He says almost exactly that. Yeah. Like, oh, we're friends.
Yeah. So now, back up, Danny is telling Jim that he's like, oh yeah, you know, me and your wife went on a few dates. And Jim's like, oh yeah, I know. Haha, 4 years ago. And Danny tries to be nice. And he's like, yeah, I don't think she really liked me very much. Like, he's trying mm-hmm. to be a gentleman. Like,
yeah.
He's trying to get the awkward conversation, like, hey, I went on a couple dates with your wife.
I won't kiss and tell, but I'll acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it.
And Dwight, like, sticks up and he's like, enough. And he's like, we all know that you probably thought Pam was meh or too thin without being toned. But she's what makes the Scranton great. She's one of the great Scranton women. And so what if she doesn't wear makeup? At this point, Pam has walked in. She goes, I wear makeup. Like, she mouths it to the camera. And then it's so weird because then Dwight's like, does a turn. He's like, welcome aboard. And Jim's like, what? Like, that's it? And he goes, it's past 5 o'clock, Jim. I'm not taking this home
with
me.
It's like Cinderella.
Just like the healthiest thing anybody can do with their job. Do not take that shit home.
No, he turned into a pumpkin at 5 o'clock.
Now, I would have expected that out of Stanley, but not so much Dwight.
Yeah, he just took it, though.
Yeah. So now, Michael is proud. Like, he sees this interaction, and he's sitting in his office, and he's proud that he solved the problem of clients getting stolen. But he forgot that Packer's on the road as traveling salesman yeah. and that they really didn't need another one. And Michael's just lost in that thought, like, well, I kind of fucked up.
Gotta tell Todd.
Yep. And then our last scene is the jam band, the Bullfrog in Love, Kevin singing. It's a frog novelty song.
Yep.
Croak, 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 Bullfrog in Love. It's like,
my croak masseur.
Yeah. I'll be your croque madame. Come a little, or come on my Lily Padgett, Lily Pollywog, or something like, mm-hmm. it was fuck, or come and sit on my log, you little Pollywog. Yep. That's what it was.
And then it ends with Daryl going, I find you absolutely riveting. I fucking loved it. I thought it was awesome. That was some great shit.
That was awesome. Good closing scene. What'd you give this one, dude?
3.5.
Okay.
What'd you give it?
I gave it a 3.9.
All right. I didn't, I just, how do I put this delicately?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, you go for it.
Okay. I love Danny Cordray. I think he's smooth. And I also think that he shakes up the whole office. Like, he throws
everybody's... He's a normal person.
Yeah. He throws everybody's dynamic on their head because everybody thinks Jim and Pam are the normal ones. Mm-hmm. When really, it's Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're even a little crazy. But, the penis museum had me laughing. That's the largest penis I've ever seen. I loved Meredith. And this, I'm so happy Meredith that they gave her time to shine in this episode. Bullfrog in Love is the only part of the jam band thing that didn't suck.
Yeah, it was so. That sucked. And it's weird, because I like Kevin and Daryl.
Yeah.
But, like, it was just, like,
it
stupid.
It was forced.
It was like a half... It was like a half...
faked idea.
Yeah, it was, like, half good, and then the other half sucked. And then, like, the thing is, like, when I'm watching it, I was, like, totally into it.
Mm-hmm.
But after the...
Halloween episode?
No, after, Michael breaks up the meeting with Meredith and Danny, I felt like it went off a cliff. Where, like, all of a sudden the salespeople are mad, and Danny's back, and Michael's, like, competent again. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, those weird glimpses of competence from Michael. Yeah. Where all of a sudden he's a good manager, and he can sell this guy the job.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I just felt like there wasn't anything funny after that. And there was still, like, 10 minutes left in the episode. And it was just like, oh, we got more jam band shit.
You don't think Dwight calling Pam... too thin without being toned.
That was pretty ugly. But, it, like, 3.5 is still pretty better than average.
No,
but,
absolutely. I'm not disputing your score at all.
It just, I don't know, like, it just left me with, like, a blah.
No, okay.
It was whatever.
I can understand. Like I said, the jam band really didn't do much for me.
No.
Danny Cordray, the Penis Museum, and Meredith really brought this one home for me. Really, and Bullfrog in Love.
They really set the table for Jim Pam stuff now. That we're gonna get into in this next episode. Because, like, when they were doing it, I'm like, this didn't have a definitive ending. They're gonna keep doing it. And they did. But, yeah, like, I just hate Andy. I know, like, he's the worst character on the show. He somehow is worse than Gabe. He's worse than Toby. Like, he's a real Toby. Yeah. I just fucking hate him.
But blame you, dude.
I digress. Yeah, and the cold open was weak, too, we said.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, Michael can't ride a bike.
Yeah, shocker. So, Bundle.
Anyway, now before we go into season 7, episode 6, costume contest, Mary
Are
Bear,
you going to put us over?
No, I think you should. I think I did last time.
So guys, if you want to reach out to us, you can find us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast, or you can send us an email with your feedback. It's brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Yep.
We always like to keep it funky fresh on our Twitter feed. You'll notice,
Joe Kimo.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. Joe Kimo didn't get any love, though.
No,
In the current climate,
it was too rough.
It's a little too much.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious to me.
To see a very sick camel receiving IV fluids.
No, I don't know, man. I enjoyed it. I don't care what other people think. Up. I'm not going to lie. It's hilarious to me because it's just so dark. Like, make a cartoon that's that dark.
I was
going to
say, that's a specific taste.
Yeah.
You have to have a specific kind of dark humor to enjoy that shit.
Good stuff.
Which we did.
Yes,
so,
we laughed
But we like to put our favorite screen grabs from our episodes if there's anything, like, ridiculous in there. So, again, that's Twitter at Brosis Podcast or via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We'll read your feedback on the air and answer you live if you'd like.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, where can they find us?
You can find us on any podcast or app that you desire, but especially on the Ginny Position podcast feed, where not only can you find us every Monday, but throughout the weeks, if you will, you can find other great content like Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Journey Through Infinity, and more. Lots of good content, a lot of fun listens. Jennifer Smith puts out some good stuff, you guys should all subscribe to that feed as well.
Yes.
So, that brings us to this episode, Costume Contest.
Yes.
This was disappointing. So, the cold open, Jim is with Andy, talking at his desk, and he notices that Stanley takes his mug and drinks out of it. So, Jim does a talking head where he says, Stanley drank my coffee mug full of orange juice without realizing he didn't even notice that it wasn't his hot coffee.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how far we can take this to see what Stanley does and does not notice.
This is one of my favorite cold opens.
Yes, this includes Kevin dressed as Phyllis, except for, like, no wig, still bald, answering his question for a crossword puzzle.
Satchel!
As well as Andy, who is shirtless but still wearing a necktie.
Which, he has weird nipples.
I wasn't looking.
Got nipples.
Like sausage nipples? Like pepperoni?
It was big, but it was hard. It was weird.
It was hard. Wait, it was hard. We're going to... Oh, my God. We're going to isolate that cunt. Oh, anyway, Jim puts a box over his monitor that
with
he doesn't...
just like a printout that's like the Dunder Mifflin logo.
No idea. Then they have a conference room meeting where everyone is sitting facing the back, but Stanley still faces the front with his crossword, has no idea.
Michael's
talking about the sales on their new branch on Jupiter and shit like that.
Everybody cheers.
Yeah, and Stanley's just doing his crossword. So then at 5 o'clock he gets up to leave. Pam turns around and says...
The one thing he does notice is the clock is slow.
Yeah, so he looks at his watch. He's like, it's 5 o'clock. Pam turns around with a mustache and says, I love you, Stanley. Yeah. And he goes, see you later. And then as he's walking out, Dwight is in the middle of the office with a pony.
A mini horse. Yeah.
And Michael steps into frame with like hillbilly teeth and that cat puppet from... Yeah. That was like a season 2 episode.
Yeah, it was.
The boxing cat puppet. And Stanley just walks out. He doesn't realize anything went wrong. So liked it. That was a good cold open. Stanley is awesome.
Yeah.
So we open the show proper. It's Halloween. Michael is walking in with Oscar. Oscar looks like Sonny Bono or something.
Yeah, he looks like a disco guy.
Yeah, like a disco guy with big hair and like a mustache. Kevin is Michael Moore.
My God.
Which is hilarious. Stanley is a samurai. Angela is a penguin. Erin is a has a zombie mask on, but she can't see, so she is like reaching around her desk. Michael is MacGruber.
MacGruber!
Very of its time.
Yo, that was from 2010. Do you know who else was in that movie?
Val Kilmer.
Oh, who else? Who else is billed? I googled it to see the
give
year.
Give me a hint and I'll get it.
WWE.
Steve Austin.
Nope.
I didn't see MacGruber.
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker's in MacGruber?
He's the second highest billed character.
The Undertaker?
I swear to God, I googled MacGruber just to get the year. And it says the cast, and it's like the guy from SNL who like created the character.
Will Forte.
Then Undertaker, and then Val Kilmer.
That's
fucking
nuts.
What the fuck?
There's only one other
movie. Ryan Phillippe.
There's only one other movie that Undertaker was in. Suburban Commando with Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, I should have known. He wears a tutu.
That's Christopher Lloyd? Mm-hmm. That movie's... No, that was Mr. Nanny.
You're right.
You're thinking of that one. But I digress. I think they were both on the... previews for Ninja Turtle VHS.
Probably. That's probably why I'm confusing it.
I said I digress like 5 times
already.
Yeah,
you did. All right, so go back.
All right. So Pam is dressed as Olive Oil, and she says that for the prize this year, they're having a costume contest, and it's a coupon book for Lackawanna County with $15,000 worth of savings.
Yo, do you remember when Mom and Dad used to get the entertainment value book?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. My mom was such a nut for that shit. She's cutting shit up, coupons and shit out of there. I haven't seen one in years.
Do they still do it? You gotta do couponing, man.
Do they still do it?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. But, I just remember that because my godmother used to take me up to Leahy, which is like a... little amusement thing that has like a little arcade, go-karts, mini golf, and batting cages. And she took me up there and Mom gave me like 4 coupons from the entertainment book to take up. It was like buy one, get one free at the batting cages or something.
Gotta cut them corners.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So,
but
that's
very
the big prize.
That's like a good prize.
That's a very, I don't know if it's like that other places, like I said, but.
Yeah, if that is only locale, good on them for researching that shit.
Dwight is the Scranton Strangler. He looks like the Hamburglar. It's exactly what I thought.
I love that his bandana, like the S is, like the circular S is like.
It's where the Recyclops eye was.
It's like very raggedly sewn in there.
Jim doesn't want to wear his Popeye costume, and we get a montage of him in past Halloweens where he doesn't wear a costume.
Jim is too cool. Our brother.
He's our brother. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Our brother hated Halloween. He hated dressing up. Even as a kid, he wore the same costume,
He's 7 years old.
Yeah, he wore a black robe with one of those masks where you can't see the face.
Yeah.
He wore that 8 years
with,
in a row.
With skeleton hands.
Yeah, he's just like, give me your fucking candy so I can go home and eat it.
I just want the candy, bitch. But let's put it this way, guys. He hates it so much that the last time he went on vacation, our mom went and pranked him because he went away in October.
Oh, yeah.
She pranked him by buying a bunch of, like, Halloween decorations from the dollar store to put up. And he came home and his girlfriend is like, he ripped everything down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He, like, kicked the skull light bulbs out.
There's no such thing as, like, decorations in that house. Like, if they ever, God bless him, if they ever have kids, that kid is fucked. It's going to have to be Uncle Kevin's job on Halloween.
I was
going
to say, we're going to have to take the kid out.
Oh, and I'll love every second of it. Be like, oh, they got the fun size candy bars or the real shit?
King size!
That's where it's at.
So anyway.
So Gabe is Lady Gaga. Yes. And he is running a meeting.
Yo, he's got lashes for days.
He's a bizarre praying mantis. Man. That's like a praying mantis. Packer's in this. He's there.
Yes!
Packer is here. He's in the meeting. He's a pregnant nun.
Oh my God.
So awesome. Gabe's talking about a new policy where drivers can sell paper. And Michael, like, looks confused as he's saying this. Mm-hmm. And that's when Packer chimes in. Does anyone call you Gabe Wad? And Gabe's answer is, not here.
Gabe Wad.
So funny. So Packer is so insensitive.
What's he doing? Sniffing some dude's thong?
Probably. So Mike goes to Daryl, who's Dracula. Mike calls him Blackula. Daryl says, no, Dracula.
Oh, my God.
And Mike tells him about the new idea and apologizes because it was an idea of Daryl's that he ignored.
Yeah, he went to, yeah.
He did not take it to corporate. And as Mike's leaving, Daryl's like, what's that in your stomach? And Mike had a ream of paper under his short shirt in case Daryl punched him. So that's when, like, Michael does talking. He praises Daryl for his magnanimousness.
Magnanimity? I don't know what words you're trying to say.
I'm an English major.
Yeah, what the fuck,
know.
Dude?
But anyway, okay. So Oscar tells people, he's in the break room, and like, Ryan, who's a DJ or K-Fed?
No! I was just going to ask you if you knew who Ryan was.
K-Fed?
No, he's Ashton Kutcher from Punk'd.
Oh, does
because
he say that?
Because he was, no, but he got his start on Punk'd. He was BJ Novak.
Oh, so it's
Novak.
An inside joke.
Yeah, BJ Novak was one of the actors on Punk.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's why it's kind of like an Easter egg that he dressed up as. Because he had like the little microphone and everything.
Well, that's why I was like, oh, it was
and
a
the trucker hat.
It was a visor. He looked like Jamie Kennedy.
No, he had a trucker hat that was high.
Okay, I'll take your.
Ashton Kutcher is the one who made the trucker hat.
I remember. Oh, I remember Von very Dutch. Well. I remember not hating someone as much as I hated Ashton Kutcher at that time.
He's
so,
a good guy now, though.
Danny stands up. Well, Oscar's bitching to Kelly, Ryan, and Toby. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, it's not really $15,000. Like, he has to be right about everything.
Actually.
Yeah. Oscar is the guy who, like, instead of calling it COVID-19 or coronavirus, he's like, COVID SARS-2 times 19. Yeah. Like, he has the scientific
thing. That guy.
He's that guy. So Danny invites everybody in the office to a party at his bar. Mm-hmm. He owns a bar off Exit 11. Public school.
Yeah. Which, and, I feel like there is, like, a bar that's called, like, the Red Schoolhouse or something
no
like
clue.
That.
No clue.
I don't know. For some reason, I didn't look into it. I usually do, but...
Fuck it.
I feel like there was, like,
I'm not going back to Google Wayback Machine to 2010.
Yeah. No,
but,
go on.
So, the best part of this scene, actually, is Creed asking, what's the crowd like, Danny? Our age? He's obviously 70 fucking years old.
Oh, my God.
So
and Danny just like whatever, man. There's
gossip in the break room about Pam and Danny, and Pam enters and everybody's like, "Shh." That's when Creed goes, "Oh, guys, now Pam didn't date Danny, or what's he say?" He said something like, "Oh, Pam dated Danny." He says it out loud.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh God, how does he say it?"
But like, it makes Pam uncomfortable, and that's when there's a talking head with Jim and Pam, where Jim is like obviously bothered by it, and Pam's just trying to get him to wear the Popeye costume.
Yeah.
So now we go, Andy and Kevin are on the fence about going to the party because they feel stuck in the middle. They don't want to offend Jim and Pam because they dated, like, Pam dated Danny and all that
yeah.
shit. But, like, of course, Andy just blows it off proportion. So, Jim tells Mike that Madge made a sale. Remember,
yeah.
Madge from the warehouse, she made a delivery and made a
she
sale.
She wanted me to leave.
So
sorry.
What do you got there? You got
no, so, the Red Schoolhouse in Pleasant Mount.
That's a long way off.
Yeah.
That's a long way off.
No, I know. But then, funnily enough, did you know that there's a Scranton, South Carolina?
No.
Just found out because there's a schoolhouse barbecue in Scranton, South Carolina.
I bet you it's delicious barbecue.
It probably
I like
is.
The Carolina barbecue. So.
It's some good stuff.
Sorry.
Anyway.
So Madge made a sale. And
Jim is, like, pumped. He's like, we should have been doing this a while ago. Because don't they, like, split the commission
I think they split it
or
something like that.
So, like, so, they're getting paid just because...
The trucker or the delivery person is just like, ah, you want more? So Michael calls Daryl out, and he tells everyone it was Daryl's idea, and he feels bad that corporate's taking...
But he calls Daryl out, and Daryl's like, I don't want to come out. And he's like, come out. And he goes, fine, let me put my shoes on.
He's relaxing.
Which, as an office worker, I can honestly tell you, dress shoes
suck. Do people do
that?
Do people take their shoes
off? Oh my god, it's disgusting.
It's a foot fetish nightmare.
It's disgusting. Like, I mean, I would have, like, socks on, like, you know, like, the no-show socks. And, like, I would, like, take them out of my shoes, but I wouldn't put them on the ground. Like, I would keep them on my shoes, just not fully in.
It's gross.
But there were people who, like...
And now you work from home, so you don't wear any, off. Like, nope. You just, no shoes, or just, like...
No shoes, no problem in my house.
Kenny Chesney, ladies and gentlemen. So, but Mike wants Daryl to get props for his idea. Because he's like, corporate stole his idea.
And I love Andy's like, yeah, screw corporate.
Yeah. So that's when Gabe, like, jumps in. And he announces that Daryl went to him. So, yeah, he did get credit for it because Gabe took Daryl's idea to corporate.
Yeah.
And then Michael's like, you double-crossed me, dude.
But I love Gabe Wad when he goes...
Gabe Wad, oh, God.
When he goes, there's no need to say, screw corporate.
Yeah, he's trying to be, like, all animated.
Why did he say it like an old, decrepit man? Like, screw corporate.
Yeah, I'm a stick bug. So... Mike is in his office now. He's pissed at Daryl. And Dwight is egging him on to make him, like... Because Daryl made him look weak by going over his head.
Yeah.
So now Kevin and Andy tell Danny that they're caught in the middle about going to his party. And they say, Jim and Pam don't want them to go. Which is, like... Again, like I said, Andy just blows something out of
proportion.
Kelly enters in a new costume now. Do you know what it is?
I have no...
It's like a sexy...
Candy cane?
It's like a sexy lollipop guild or something.
Yeah, like, is it something from Candyland?
Could be. Could be. I don't know what it is. She's
I have no idea what
this
it is.
Pixie, though.
She looks like an Oompa Loompa with the green hair. And then she has, like, a Candyland, like, dress.
Like gumdrops.
Yeah.
So Angela's, like, all pissed off about it. Like, you can't change costumes midway through the day, blah, blah, blah.
Tell her, Pam. Tell her she's disqualified.
And, of course, Oscar chimes in. You know, the prize isn't really $15,000. You guys
worth
don't have
like, $40.
You don't have to try so hard. He's such an asshole. So Angela does a talking head where she's like, I really don't want to give Pam credit because she's so meh, but this coupon book was, like, a great idea.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I love the fact that, like, we know that her and Jenna Fish are our best friends in real life.
Oh, yeah, because they stole our podcast idea. Yeah.
Yeah, but I just, like, can you imagine Jenna Fisher sitting there and she's like, I don't even want to give her a compliment because she's so meh. Like,
meh. She doesn't even wear makeup. So Dwight is, like, tossing magnets away from the fridge as Mike watches Kevin and Gabe in the other room. And, like, was it high five?
Yeah, or, like, fist bump or
and
something.
Michael barges in. He yells at Kevin about the chain of command and going behind his back. And it turns out that Kevin just wanted to teach Gabe Lady Gaga dance moves.
Yeah. Well, I love, because Michael says to Dwight, like, what are they talking about in there? And Dwight, do you know what Dwight says?
Yes.
I don't know, the extremes of the human physique.
The skinniest dude and the portliest dude.
Skinny, tall, and
short and
Kevin.
Squat. No, it was like Squat and Babu from the Power Rangers.
Oh my god.
You know what I mean?
Short and stout.
Like me? I'm not that. First of all, I'm
You're
not that,
that
stout.
Stout.
Yeah.
I didn't say it. You did.
No, you just said it at the same time. We're going to fight about this
after
we record this. We're going to fight.
Yeah, we are.
I am jacked.
Fuck you, dude.
Anyway, Danny is with Jim and Pam, and they're laughing about Andy and Kevin and everything. And
they're like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's no history to speak of or whatever. And it turns out Danny never called her back on the third date. And, like, Pam gets a little, like, vicious.
Yeah.
She's like, well, that's what happened. You never called me back. And
yeah,
it gets quiet.
Gets very
it gets
serious.
Yeah, it gets awkward. She reminded me of our aunt in that moment because I could totally see our aunt doing something like that.
But, nope, that's what happened.
Yeah, you accept it. And she does the punky head swivel. But so Mike goes to Daryl and he says things are falling apart because he went over his head. The chain of command is crumbling and he wants him to apologize, but Daryl refuses. And that's when we see Oscar showing his new costume as the rational consumer.
Well, I mean, Daryl, like, Daryl, says a lot more. He's like, what have you ever done for me, Michael?
I thought that was coming up in the meeting.
Oh,
with,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah. That's when he bares his soul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Oscar is the rational consumer. He's wearing, like, a purple sweater.
He's so smug.
He's so smug.
He's so pretentious.
He's such a bitch. Oh, God. Oscar, I love him, but at the same time, I'm like, I know he's written this
I know way, him. I know him as a person, we all know, and I want to punch him.
We all know people like him. We have a friend who's like that, who, like, we love, but at the same time, we're like, dude, dial it back.
Yeah.
Just like, come on. We know you like art. Like, okay, like, we get it. You know? So, it's costume runway time. They're having, like, a catwalk runway through the middle of the office to show off their costumes, and the winner is going to get the book.
Yeah.
So, as they're about to do it, Mike comes out in Daryl's warehouse shirt
with Oscar's fro.
Yeah, the fro wig. And he starts impersonating, like, you know who I am? And he's doing the voice and
shit. I work in the warehouse.
It's so bad.
Yeah. Like, it's not even funny
and
bad.
The only reason it ends is because Kelly goes, Michael, do you have to ruin every single party we have? You have to make it about your issues? And, like, that ends it. Like, Michael just, like, checks himself.
Yo, good for you, Kelly.
It's so awesome. So the contest begins, and Stanley swings his sword.
Screaming.
Gabe does his, like, weird dance.
So awkward. Is he wearing heels, too?
I think he was, like, platform, like
taller?
Something Gene Simmons wears.
Oh, my God.
And, like, Ryan comes down throwing his hands around and shit. And then Angela, as a sexy nurse,
wow,
who doesn't look like she knows how to walk in heels, and she does this awkward turn where her body is stiff as a board, and she does a talking head where she's like, let's be adults here. We know what sells in this office.
Yeah. The costume store was out of all of the other costumes.
She pulls it off.
She does.
So then we see it's Gabe, Aaron, and Daryl using a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as someone who in the past 3 days has consumed a lot of ghost adventures, I will say that one of the things...
I would not want to do that.
The main host, Zach Bagans, cannot pronounce the name of this board. Do you know that?
Oh, yes, I did. I watched an episode where they used that to open a portal.
To summon, like, a beast.
Yeah, and, oh, God.
He calls it an Ouija, Ouija board.
Ouija, yeah.
Like fucking Waluigi or something.
I'm Luigi.
Yeah, like, it's like, fuck, dude. Because, like, everybody else in the room is like, the Ouija board says... And he's like, there's Ouija board. Like, he's so, like, fucking dumb. But anyway, so then Mike gets down there, and he's, like, basically using it to try and call Daryl an asshole.
And they're like, an asset!
Yeah,
he's an asset!
They're arguing over it, and it, like, breaks, and, like, the table flies.
And Aaron just screams.
Mm-hmm. Ah! So Packer is in the kitchen with a paper bag over his crotch that says, Trouser Mouse. Awesome. It's just a waiting game. So Jim is in there with Danny. And
I love Danny walks in and is like, I don't think that's going to work how you think it is.
Just wait, man. Like, yeah, Packer's just got his dick in a bag.
Oh, my
God.
As a pregnant nurse.
Nope, none.
None.
Please.
Sorry.
Even
none,
more
none.
Offensive.
Yeah.
So Jim asks Danny pretty much, like, why you never call Pam back? Like, he's trying to be cool about it, but he's like, you know what?
Genuinely curious.
And Cordray is, like, trying to get out of it. And at this point, Packer chimes in. Help her! You're looking for someone to bang your wife! So awesome. But,
yeah, Danny's like, you know what? Her fours look like sevens, and...
He's like, well, you did call her back, though, for a second date. And he's like, she just spent the whole date talking about you. I knew she was into you. And Jim's like, okay. But Jim, like, still doesn't buy it.
He's like, meh, alright.
So we see Aaron, she has her head in the bobbing for apples tub for a minute, and they pull her up. She's like, I ate two apples! You're stone-faced right now. You're just like... Not impressed.
She's a fucking moron.
Okay.
This poor girl that has to play her. I feel so bad.
So Jim and Pam corner Danny now in the kitchen again. And they're like, what? Why didn't you call her back? And she's like all bitchy about it.
But Jim's like, she had a nice time. She just wants to know.
Yeah, come on. I think she deserves it. Like, he's such a boyfriend bitch. Well, he's a
husband now. Bitch.
But it's just like, Jim, you really care, Jim? Like, you're married to her?
Yeah.
You're like,
married him.
Like, I can understand if Pam was the one searching for answers.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that they're, like, a tag team.
Yeah.
Like, Turla. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
So, and he basically just says that Pam was a little dorky for him. He wasn't buying it.
Yeah.
And, of course, Pam proves this by doing her vaudeville voice. Like, well, I'm going to get out of here now.
God.
And
hit the road.
So, and that's when Jim is like, you know, she is dorky, but she's my dork.
Yep.
I love her. And so Gabe is with Daryl and Mike now. They're in the back in the annex having a talk-out session. And they're trying to work out how, like, ideas will be handled in the future. And it becomes like a session for Daryl to air his grievances. He's like, Ed Truck hired me. Joe promoted me. Gabe listened to me. You never did a damn thing for me, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going back and forth at Michael. And Gabe tries to interject, and Mike's like, shut up, we're thinking. Like, we're trying to get this settled or whatever. And, like, there's a thing where Gabe is like, well, go to Michael with your ideas, but if it's a really, really good one, bring it to me. Like, he's trying to work around it. And, like, Michael senses it, and so does Daryl. Like, oh, he's being opportunistic. And that's when they both agree that if they have something they want to do, they'll just go straight to Joe and bypass Gabe. And, Gabe of course, he's just Gabe. I don't know why, but the way Packer is just like a high school.
Anybody call you Gabe Wad?
Gabe Wad. He's such an asshole. Oh, it's so great. But so then Gabe is like left because Michael and Daryl shake hands. They're friends again. And Gabe's like, what about me? So Andy now is with Daryl in his office. And Daryl said he's not going to Danny's party because he has big plans for Saber. He wants to move up in this company. So he's going to do some work. Still not clear what Daryl's work is.
Right? Like, I'm going why to, he...
I think next episode when we record, I'm going to Google. I'm going to Google, and I'm going to see if there's any, like, pages that clarify this.
I mean, all we
he
know
He has an
is
office!
That, all we know is that he does his doodles upstairs. I think he's still, like, in charge of the warehouse, though.
He has an office.
And maybe he's logistics now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's a possibility, actually. Because he had those plans for, I almost called her Pat. Joe. Anyway.
For so, how to, like, do the delivery schedule and stuff like that. Maybe he's logistics and supply chain. Who knows?
I'm going to Google it, though, because we don't have a definitive answer.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So, Jim comes in dressed as Popeye, and he has Cece. And Pam's like, oh, my hero!
Just
and,
like olive oil.
Yeah, and she's all happy.
I do...
God, what?
So, there's a couple things that I forgot to mention as you were going through.
Go for it.
But it's before the ending.
No, go for it.
In the beginning, when Andy and Kevin are doing their talking head, Kevin talks about how he's got a good memory and he's like an elephant in that way. let's see. Oh, Michael asking, what does taking someone from behind mean? When they're like, when he went over my head. Yeah. No, he went around my back. And then, oh, when Stanley asked Andy how many vampires he's supposed to care about.
Oh, because Andy's from True Blood?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Bill, I think.
I don't know. Now, I never saw True Blood.
I was about to say Bill Paxton. No, I think he's Team Jacob. No. I know.
That's the Twilight.
But just like Stanley, how many vampires am I supposed to care about?
Stanley's like, I have a teenage daughter. I really don't give a shit. So
anyway.
The final scene is the winner. They announce the winner of the costume contest. And it's Oscar. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
They're like half-hearted clapping. Oscar looks shocked. So we get talking head from Kelly, Ryan, and Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly holds up her vote for Oscar. And she's like, I want to vote for someone who wasn't a threat.
Yeah.
And then Ryan holds us up and just goes, I'm a Nader guy.
Yeah.
Shake things up. And then the best. Oh, my God. This was the line of the fucking episode. Creed goes, best Edward James Olmos costume I've ever seen. Fucking freaky. Like, and, like, that one killed me. Oh,
yes.
It was an awesome ending. To an episode that I wasn't totally into. And what'd you give it?
I gave it a 3.5. I said it was funny with Packer. It had a good plot line, but nothing like overkill.
I gave it a 3.2.
Okay.
And there's a few reasons. First one is the Andy Kevin thing, stupid.
Yeah.
Now, if that's the way you're going to, like, I don't know. If that's the way you're going to get to the Jim and Pam talking to Danny, I guess it's effective.
It's a means to an end.
It's not a particularly good one, but I get it. Oscar being an asshole was actually pretty funny. But I for some reason, like, everything was about conflict in this episode, which they don't typically do, and it just didn't work for me. Where Michael and Daryl are having a conflict, and Gabe gets involved, and then Jim and Pam, she's pissed at him because he won't put the costume on, and then they're both like, Danny, why didn't you call her back? She's not good enough for you?
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, people figuring out why other people weren't happy with them.
Yeah.
And it didn't prove for the funniest episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
Creed saved it with that last line, though. Because as someone, like, I remember you've seen the movie Stand and Deliver, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what, like, when it says Edward James Olmos, that's exactly what I'm thinking of him, like, teaching kids. And then there's that South Park episode where Cartman parodies it.
I was going to say, he's the dad from Selena.
Oh, that's right, he is. Yeah, Selena's actually a decent movie.
I liked that movie.
Yeah. So, but, I don't know, for some reason it just didn't land, this one.
Yeah.
3.2, like, it seems low, but at the same time I'm like, I didn't really enjoy it. Like, Packer, oh, thank God for Packer. Packer and Oscar were like the all-stars for me. Like, I thought they were great. Angela's the sexy nurse.
Oh, my God.
But, like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, Dwight didn't really do much this episode.
No.
Which is okay. They, like, these characters need off episodes.
It was nice to not
It was more of an ensemble.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Meredith was now that I think about it.
She was a Perkins waitress.
Oh, okay. That was random.
I know. It really was, because I was trying to figure out... She had a blonde wig on.
I don't...
And I was trying to figure out, like, think if there was, like, a movie...
Like Inspector Gadget's niece, Penny?
Yeah. I'm, like, trying to think if there was, like, a movie or a reference to Perkins in the 2010s for a blonde waitress, but...
I have no idea.
I couldn't figure anything out. I think it was just, like, a random thing.
I don't know.
Like Stanley being a samurai.
That was awesome because he had a sword. But like I said, the cold open was good too. I don't know, like, it just didn't work for
it didn't
me.
Land.
It was one that I watched twice. And the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is quite a fall from the episodes we've been doing in season 7.
But it's
and
then not I watched a total it
the,
face
No, no, no. But then I watched it the second time. I was like, there are glimmers here. Yeah. But like for the main ones, the Michael, Daryl, and Jim Pam thing.
Yeah.
They just don't work. Like, I just didn't. It just didn't work for me.
It's not, obviously, coming off of Sex Ed, that was a super strong episode. So, I don't think that we could have anticipated, like, a very high
rating. Especially with the way season 6 was.
Yeah.
But, like...
It was still strong season to date.
It was fine, yeah.
I still think that season 7 is very strong.
Oh, as a whole, yeah. So, anything else you want to talk about?
No, dude, that's all I've got.
What do we got next week?
Next week, we have episode 7, Christening, and episode 8, Viewing Party.
Okay, I have seen episode 7.
The Christening?
Yes.
Okay.
Not a fan. I'm going to tell you guys that right now, up front, when we
don't
get to that
episode.
Don't
anticipate a fun episode next week.
Well, guys. I don't know, because I haven't seen the other one yet, but I have seen The Christening. Not a fan. Just going to say that up front. But
see what happens.
So we'll be back next Monday with that episode. In the meantime, everybody, subscribe to the cast on wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yes.
You can get in touch with us on Twitter at BroSaysPodcast, or you can reach out to us longer form on email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com.
Woo.
Find us on the Ginny Position and subscribe to that podcast feed as well, where you can find other great shows such as Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, and more. It would be great. We'd love to have you join the crew. We're there every Monday morning, just as we are on our own feed. So just keep listening. Share the show with your friends, family, acquaintances, whoever. We would greatly appreciate that as well. Right, Bear?
Absolutely.
All right. So, guys, until next time, we'll catch you all on down the road.
Thanks, guys.